Welcome back to the Sean Hannity Show, and I am Rose, and I enjoy sitting in for Sean, and I adore his audience. So glad to be back, and today joining me to discuss the founding documents and the protections and liberties that are provided by those documents for the American people is the president of Americans for Limited Government, Richard Manning. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing great, Rose. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate that. You know, I just think it's really important, especially right now, that we discuss a little bit of the history and why we have the Bill of Rights. And let me ask you something. A lot of the people that were involved in drafting the Constitution in Philadelphia, in that little hall that was, you know, hot and muggy and sticky and dirty and all of that, right? They were in there for months and months and months as they were drafting the Constitution. And a lot of people at that time, a lot of those involved, I understand, wanted to draft a Bill of Rights immediately. But, I mean, I'll give it to them. They were tired. They wanted to get back home. You know, the conditions were not the most comfortable. And so we didn't get an agreement on that Bill of Rights until 2 years later. And then 2 years after that, they were ratified. Is that how you see that? I mean, because you wonder, why didn't they just go ahead and do that during the drafting of the Constitution?
Well, I think one of the things is a lot of people who are drafting the Constitution assumed that the Bill of Rights were inferred, that they were in fact inviolable, and it was absurd to have to include them. But people like George Mason from Virginia was insistent that setting up a government that was simply a balance of powers, that what the Madison document is a balance of powers to try to protect minority rights while allowing the majority to move the government forward and move policy forward, that without protecting the individual rights through a Bill of Rights, laying out specific freedoms that are God-given based upon the Declaration of Independence, Declaration that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. That Bill of Rights was nailing in stone what those rights were. And as in doing that, they were able to then ratify the Constitution because people then knew that this weren't setting up a government that was going to be all powerful from Washington, D.C. Instead, they were setting up a government that was governing by the consent of the governed.
That's interesting. That's exactly right. And when you think about, and there was, I know, a lot of exchanges between Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. And I think Jefferson had said to Madison something about how, you know, we who have drafted this are educated in republicanism, but there is still that there are others that were still educated in royalism. And that was always the concern, I think, because when you were so accustomed to a monarch or to a dictator, you know, in this case, he was very much the tyrant as well, George III, but when you were accustomed to that, you really knew no other type of government, form of government. You really knew no other type of life.
I think one of the things people today take for granted and don't fully appreciate is what a radical document this was.
Yes.
This was truly an experiment that had been tried nowhere else in the world.
Right.
Setting up a government that was a government of the people, by the people, for the people, to paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, setting up a government that was not a ruler over the people, but which the people were the rulers over the government. That was unheard of. It was unfathomable. This was such a radical break with every other concept of government over the whole course of history that it was. They were geniuses in coming up with a process that recognized that too much power in any one person's hands was dangerous. And so they broke the power up through the various branches of government, three branches
right.
of government. And then in the House and the Senate and Congress, they split the power in half between the House and the Senate. And in doing so, they ensured that you would be able to, that yes, if something needed to be done, it could get done. But people who were against it had an opportunity to amend it, had an opportunity to change it, had an opportunity to stop it. And in doing so, that's the genius of why this country's lasted over 240 years, is because of that balance of power with the underlying protections of individual liberties that have expanded over the last 242 years, the protections of the individual liberties and an assumption, and the states having their own sets of freedoms from and jobs from the federal government. And it was all devised so it would not have a king at the top, a dictator at the top, someone who was all powerful and was imposing their will on the rest of America, on the rest of the people. It was devised that way. It was a genius thought.
It is genius.
And we need to understand, and hopefully people will understand, that it not only was genius, this was radical. It was insanely radical. And to come up with this, to be smart enough to figure out this complex problem, and give us a government that, for all its faults, works and has allowed this country to thrive for over 240 years. That's the genius we should be celebrating. But instead, many in America, many in Congress today, want to tear that government down, want to tear that Constitution down, and view that Constitution as an evil document because
it takes their power away. Yeah.
It takes their power away.
Yes. You know, and when you talk about that, we had, look, the opportunity that our founding fathers had after they drafted that wonderful Constitution, it was 1987? Am I right? My math? Okay, I'm trying. I'm 11 years after the Declaration of Independence.
1787.
Yes. Okay, so in 1787, what an opportunity. That is an opportunity that doesn't come around very often. And it was, I think it was providential, in fact, that we had an opportunity when we were developing, we were founding this brand new nation. We had an opportunity to do something for the people of that nation for years to come that rarely comes around. That was an amazing opportunity. And they did right by us. They did right by us. And the fact that they had to, you know, go back and forth for a few years over it, and we had the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, but the fact that they did that, they were able to establish that for us, for people they would never know, for you and I right now, Richard, they did that for us. And I am just amazed. I feel that we were lucky. I feel like, phew, wow, I'm glad that happened. But in the meantime, though, as you said, now we are seeing it being just chipped away at because, and there's a reason why no other governments have a constitution like ours, because in doing so would mean that they would lose their power. And there's no way in the world they would ever do that. But if we give any of these up right now, we never get them back. We never get these back. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for this nation.
100%. And once again, I want to go back to the DNA of our country, which is in the Declaration of Independence. And if people don't remember any words, remember these 56 words. The first is part of the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those 56 words, signed on a document by 56 men, which was treason.
Yes.
It's the DNA of this country.
Yes.
It's the DNA of this country. And those who want to deny those 56 words and are those who are embracing the concept that we work for the government. Our tax dollars, that the average person who pays taxes, it's the government's money, and it's amazing how much money they'll allow us to keep, okay? And they're being generous by allowing us to keep some of our money that we work.
How nice of them. Thank you very much.
These 56 people stood up and said, that's not the government that we're going to create. And the question is, are we going to be willing to do what's necessary to keep it? I will tell you today, I was down at the D.C. jail. And I was with Representative Louis Gohmert, Representative Matt Gaetz, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Representative Bob Good from Virginia. And they were there trying to find out what was going on inside the D.C. jail related to the January 6th prisoners. They weren't trying to deal with individual cases. They were just trying to check on living conditions and the like and find out what was going on. The D.C. jail literally locked them out of the building. You know, we are in a position right now where if the January 6th protesters, the January 6th prisoners are not allowed basic due process rights, then nobody has basic due process rights. And the disappointment was is that there are only four members of Congress there, and there weren't 435 members of Congress there. Because every single member of that of Congress has sworn an oath to the Constitution, has sworn an oath to the American system of justice that says that we're innocent until proven guilty. And in not demanding that that standard, that basic standard be met, they are betraying the very essence of our country. And I'm not saying whether or not those people should be released. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying they have due process rights, and to deny them those rights because of political reasons is an affront to our basic constitutional liberties and is wrong. And those four members, and Paul Gosar also, because he's been doing this also, those four members I mentioned need to be thanked by America because they had the guts to be there and shine a light on what was going on. And that, without shining that light, no due process and no justice will be served.
Well, we're talking to Richard Manning. He's the president of Americans for Limited Government. We're out of time, and I'm so sorry, but I do appreciate you joining us today because I really wanted to talk about the Bill of Rights and why it wasn't in the original Constitution, but why it was so necessary. So thank you, Richard, for joining us today. I'll take your phone calls up next, 1-800-941-SEAN. 1-800-941-SEAN. We'll be right back.